Welcome, welcome, welcome to a special edition of Razzle Dazzle Radio here at Howard Community College. The theme of this show is the young Colombians, past, present, and future. And that was a clip, believe it or not, from, I think it's 1976. I could be wrong. Toby later on will help me with that. But I'm here to introduce the host of this program today, my dear friend, a woman, a treasure of not only Columbia and Howard County, but a triple threat, singer, dancer, actor, director, make it five, whatever it is, and choreographer of all kinds of shows here in Howard County. I love her. Welcome, Carol Lehan.
Thank you, Carolyn. Oh my gosh, that is really a little humbling and embarrassing introduction. So thanks. I'm happy to be here. The idea of celebrating the young Colombians and Colombia is near and dear to my heart because I started as young Colombian in 1975 when we first did the young Colombians at Wolf Trap to celebrate the bicentennial show. And there have been the young Colombians for years and years up until this very moment where the young Colombians still perform in various shows around the region. So this is a good one.
So you're going to take over the show and introduce our special guest today. The woman on your right has an important part of your life.
Yeah. Okay. Well, she was the originator of the young Colombian concept, putting the music together with a story of America through song, Toby Ornstein. A round of applause.
Good morning. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Wherever you are and whoever you are. I'm happy to be here.
And Toby, I'm thrilled to have you here. And before I let Carol take over the show, I want to mention that there are three guests sitting right here, and I think this is going to be a great singing show today. And I'll let them introduce themselves through you, Carol, but I will say that you share a common interest. Three people in one family performing in the Young Colombians and professionally now, and your family, the Graham family,
oh,
the
that's
same.
Right.
So share some of those ideas. Take it from here.
Oh, okay. So we're introducing Maggie and Stephen and John. Hi, John. John just walked in the studio. Dransfield. And your family has become kind of epic now. Did you know that?
It is very epic.
That's kind of crazy. I don't know.
So we share this, that we've all been in the Young Colombians and have this orientation to Columbia School for Theatrical Arts.
Yeah.
But now you've taken your own personal journeys. Can you just catch us up on what you're doing right now?
Catch up.
So Maggie.
Catch up. So hello, everyone.
Hi.
I'm excited to be here. So I have taken kind of a long journey to get back here to Columbia. So I left in 2012 to go to WVU, West Virginia University, and I pursued acting there. So I went from focusing on musical theater to really honing in on my acting skills.
Oh, brilliant.
And Toby really gave me kind of the grounds to start that. So I learned a lot of what I knew going into college from Toby and everyone that I had worked with at CCTA.
A specific production where you can recount?
Definitely starting with Aida.
Yeah, what'd you do in that?
I played Amneris, and it was...
Of course you did.
Honestly, it was a huge, huge deal for me. Toby kind of just took a chance on me, and I was blown away by the fact that she welcomed me in so lovingly. And from there, that's kind of my point where I knew this is what I want to do and I can do it. And she gave me the grounds to say I can do it.
So I'm guessing beyond just the dancing and singing, she made you think about character and backstory.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
Yeah.
And it
yeah,
was like textually based backstory. And that's gorgeous. And that's where you pull your story from. So, you know, why get it from anywhere else?
Yeah. See? Okay. Maggie, and then, Toby, jumping
here,
in. We were going to talk about you
and
like
now,
you're not here.
And now Maggie is playing Sophie in Mamma Mia.
Oh, that's right. That's your journey right now.
And I'm not saying this because she's a student, but I've seen Mamma Mia a million times. And to me, it was always about Donna and the girlfriends. And this production is about Donna and her daughter Sophie. Mm. And she is so real and wonderful as Donna. She makes me cry when I see her.
Thanks, Toby.
She reminds me of you, Carol. I've said that
myself. We make her cry. That's nice.
You actually might.
Okay, and your brother next to you is Stephen.
Hello.
Stephen.
Hey.
What is your journey since leaving Columbia?
Well, I left in 2015 to go to Shenandoah Conservatory, which is actually kind of funny because Toby's grandson, Brett, we were roommates my sophomore year. And then we were only roommates for like a month. We had to get kicked out of the dorm for a whole million bunch of reasons. But besides the point, we left. I left.
It's kind of a story we want to go back to later, but go ahead.
Okay, we'll go back. So we left. I left in 2015, Shenandoah Conservatory, and then I came back two summers ago to do the first draft of Magic Under Glass. And then last summer, after sophomore year, we did a concert version. And then this summer, back again, back in Columbia, we're doing, I guess this is the third draft of the script. It's gotten even better. It's getting really tight. The script is getting really good.
You're going to have to backpedal now and tell us what the heck is Magic Under Glass.
Oh, yeah. No, we'll get into that. So that's why I'm back in Columbia. And then, senior year is next year. And then who knows where I'll be after that.
And can I add to it that you are the lead in Magic Under Glass.
Yeah.
And you have taken your character to California and New York, where there are many people interested in pursuing the growth of this piece to perhaps do it in New York.
Yeah, for New York, we went and we got to do like a display of the songs, some scenes. We got to do it for Rosie's Kids. It's camp in Manhattan. And we got to meet a lot of cool people. A lot of kids came up and said, oh, man, like, I know your friends. Like, you guys are, you know, like, really inspiring and this and that and all the shows you're doing. And, like, the joy that we got from just doing this little musical that we kind of created one summer on a whim.
Which has grown.
So, yeah, I know. It's not just a little musical anymore. Like, what it's come from, this little seed, like, it was amazing. And then we got to go to LA. We got to be on the TV station, LA TV.
So now you're going to have, you were dropping breadcrumbs. Tell us, what is Magic Under Glass?
Okay, so Magic Under Glass is a show. So Jackie Dolamore, she wrote a book series, and it was the Magic Under Glass book series, also Clockwork Heart. She wrote this. Michael Francis Klein, the composer, he knew Jackie through the grapevine, old friends, and he said, hey, like, I think I have some songs that could go with your book. Like, maybe we could try to turn it into a script. They turned it into a musical, and I remember it was the last day of rehearsals or last performance day of In the Heights when we did it a few summers ago before my freshman year, and I got an email from the stage manager. She said, hey, there's this guy, Mike Klein. He wants you to come to his house, read a script. Just send him an email. I sent him an email. He says, come to my house and we'll look at the script. It was just one act. It was very, it was very scrambled. Nobody had any idea what was going on, really. He said, check out the song called Down in the Field, which is the single. It's a song that gets stuck in your head. If you're ever going to see the show, you know what I'm talking about. And it just came from this little living room, like, kind of half of a script. And now it's this huge production. We're doing a third draft of it. And then Toby kind of got her hands on it, and she's been working on it, getting in the kitchen and cooking it and making it, like, as good as she can make it.
Yes. So, yeah. And we're very excited about it. We have a lot of people interested in it, and some people that are doing special costumes for it and special effects. And it's going to be right here at the college.
When?
First week in August.
Mm. It's August 3, 4, and 5.
Nice.
That's
correct.
That's
the date.
And I think the 31st.
Three performances?
We're going to do 4 to 5 shows.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
That will be determined.
All two.
But the original leads are still with us.
Mm-hmm.
And
awesome.
Those three leads have traveled to New York and California to perform for all kinds of people.
Very exciting.
And there are two musical supervisors from Broadway that are interested in working on the piece as well.
Yay.
It's very exciting. It's very, very exciting.
Okay. So Magic Under Glass. And then John.
John is the baby.
Are you the youngest of three?
Of four, actually.
Of four?
There's one more
before
Maggie.
Where is
she? She's a photographer.
She? Oh,
she's
slacker.
Married, living that married life.
John, tell us about where you are with the Young Columbians and where you are in school and all.
Okay, so I just graduated high school, and I've been a Young Columbian since my sophomore year of high school. Maggie had always done it. Stephen had done it. And
then
I remember
it was John's turn.
one summer, I wasn't taking musical theater that seriously. I'd always loved to sing. Acting, I was kind of scared to really try to get into it. And so the summer before my sophomore year, I guess it was in 15 or 16, Toby's was about to, or CCTA was about to do In the Heights, and Steven was going to be in it. And Toby asked me after they'd cast it, we need guys. Can you do this? Because she just knew I was the youngest sibling. And so I did it, and it was way more than I, like, you know, was expecting.
She trapped him.
She did trap me. I was never taught to read music. I had no actual dance experience. So it was crazy. All hit me at once. And so that kind of got me into it. And so I've been in.
He loved crazy.
I love crazy. I've been in Pippin. I was just in Greece as Danny this past spring, I guess. Yeah.
And like a month ago, spring?
Yeah, a month ago, yeah.
From the time of the taping.
I was playing Henry Higgins' My Fair Lady at the same exact time.
Where were you doing that?
At a little homeschool community group. It's called Stage Light Productions.
Okay.
We actually did a show that was in the Cappies. That was we did Our Town in the fall.
Sure.
And that was in the Cappies, yeah. And so in the spring, we were doing My Fair Lady, so I was going between trying to really be my best dialect self, using proper English, and then just yelling as Danny and trying to seem cool, slick back hair.
Yeah, cool kid.
Yeah, cool kid. Toby,
from New York.
Toby kept telling me, you're a cool kid. I think she was doubting me.
I was never doubting you, John. John has blossomed this year, really trusting himself.
And what are you doing in
In the fall,
next couple of months?
I have just learned that I'm going to Belmont University in Nashville.
Woo!
So I'm going for commercial music voice, but my specificity is music production. So I am very much into the production and the writing of music. I thought a long time about going for audio production or audio engineering. That was a little too computer science-y for me, kind of scared me. And so I wanted to stick to music. And so I'm very excited. You're going to be in Nashville for the next 4 years, foreseeable. And yeah, and now I'm back in the summer before we leave, and I'm going to be in Magic Under Glass. Whatever.
You're going to do that too?
Yeah, whatever role Toby gives me, you know.
Put her on the spot.
Yeah. If you want to tell
me
right now.
I will not be on the spot.
All right. I just was at callback,
I
so
take
she
the
could
fifth.
Tell me right now.
Oh, this could be.
She takes the fifth.
I take the fifth.
All right. Okay. So there's a lot of stuff going on. You're still all connected with Toby.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In three different productions. No, you might be the same production.
Kinda. Yeah, we're the same.
Yeah, never mind. And the Young Columbians.
Yeah.
So are you still doing any Young Columbian things this summer?
No, we're not doing Young Columbians this
We're
summer.
Always okay. doing we're, Young Columbians things.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, even you.
Be like, hey, can you help me out for a show? And he's like, yeah.
This was my weekly dose of Young Columbians
Is it? That's right. Toby wakes up at 5:30 in the morning and says, how can I use people in my production?
What can I do to destroy people's lives and bring
that's not it at all.
She's a magical queen.
Let's take it to that right now. What can you say is something instrumental that you've learned through the Young Columbians or through Toby directly or production that you take with you?
You know the phrase, like, you never know a good thing until it's gone. Well, the biggest thing that I've learned from leaving Columbia and going to school is like how good I have had it growing up with CCTA, like with Toby, like just with Columbia in general. Cause like I never knew like we had such a strong theater presence. Like I'll talk to some of my friends at school and they'll be like, yeah, like my town hates theater, or like my parents didn't support me at all, or this or that. And some great performers have come from that. But like our parents and Toby and I mean, just like everybody, all like our friends' parents, everybody has supported us so much, which is amazing because like I didn't really realize that like we had that. So coming back every summer now and just being around this kind of community, coming to do these like radio shows like with our friends, just like hanging out, like this is like it's really been amazing. Like I didn't know we had it as good, and so it's just like, okay, we're here for this summer, like we're here right now, like let's just take a big breath and just like realize how good we have it right
now.
Yeah,
as I was preparing to come here, I was thinking I get to be with my two younger brothers, a woman I care very, very deeply for, and new friends that all love the arts. We are blessed.
Yeah.
We are. I mean, he's going to college for his first year. I'm out of college. He's going for senior year. And I've just come back from Boston. We're living in the same house for the first time.
Yeah, we
in
haven't
a long
all been
time.
In the same house in so long.
And our sister lives like 10 minutes down the road. It's crazy. She just moved. Yeah. She was in a tiny house. It was a whole thing. But so it's, I mean, to have Toby, who just mothers and loves. That's the thing.
Stop it.
I'm not going to stop it. We're here to talk about it, girl. So it's the love and it's the fostering that she does. Because it's not...
It's giving you belief in yourself.
Yeah, my gosh. Yeah, you heard it straight from her, everyone. Yeah. And it's the story. And that's the thing that I feel like it is telling the story. Mm-hmm. And I heard it first from Toby. Because early on, you know, you're so young. You're just like, I'm on stage. I'm performing. And there's people watching me. And I love it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, when you get more deeply into things, it's like, well, why am I on stage telling the story? And why do I love it?
Yeah.
And it's because of what you're telling.
Yeah, so, like, Adam's Family was the main thing that, like, that was the moment where I realized I really wanted to do this for my career, is when Toby and Kevin McAllister, who's actually in Come From Away right now,
woo!
In New York,
yeah,
which
Kevin.
Is awesome. But they, I mean, I remember them being like, you know, just tell the story. Kevin would say, find the moment in the show that's your moment, or, like, your character's moment, and, like, you know, your whole life is leading up to this, and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And, I mean, that was really, Adam's Family was probably the main thing that kind of kicked me into shape.
That's nice. So gratitude is what I'm hearing from you.
Gratitude
guys.
That is that was huge. Yeah.
That's always a good one to come back to for life.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Joe?
Going back to you saying telling the story, when I started acting, I was very into, I really wanted to be like little nuances. I was very into the nuances, and playing Henry Higgins, it's very small. It's very, like, what does he really mean? He's a very conflicted character. And so when I was playing Danny, Toby kept saying things like, just, you know, just be cool, or just, like, simple things. And we were talking about Grease is so much different than all the other shows out. It's very tongue-in-cheek. You kind of know it's a show. You're not in it like, oh, this is so real. You know, it's a snapshot of a time. We're trying to capture that.
But that was a real time.
It was a real time.
It's just that
but people,
I was
people
shocked.
Can't really see that.
But I was shocked when we did Grease at how these young people his age had no conception of that era.
Yeah.
So here we are as a school teaching realism. And, you know, they're not going to that 50s type of person. But
we all thought it was
real when I had to come in and go, look, guys, I was part of that. And I'm talking now.
I remember we kept
shoving you around. I said, this is who we were.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the 50s.
You know, we thought we were cool. It was a whole different generation.
Yeah.
And that's what acting is. You have to get out of yourself and become, who is that generation? Mm-hmm. And what can I bring to that character from that generation?
Mm-hmm. What can I bring to that character? Okay, so now you're here. What can you bring to Columbia now that you're back?
You?
Oh, wait a minute. No, I just asked a question. I just don't divert.
Yeah.
I have a great Carol story.
All right, go ahead.
Carol, we were doing Playing Our Song at the theater. I don't know, you guys, I don't know if you know that show. And the character is a ditzy character.
Okay.
It's really a two-character show with their voices
it's
in the
ditzy.
Background.
She's ditzy?
Well, she's ditzy. She wears her dress backwards.
I didn't know that.
Anyway, and Carol was, she was wonderful. She was and still is a wonderful actress.
Mm.
So she was going on tour for Catholic University. You were doing the USO show. I blocked the whole show before she left, and she went away. And I said, when you come back, learn, know your lines. And she was so fun and so cool, and the guy playing with her was so cool. And so I directed the rest of the show, and she came back. And she says, I worked on the bus, and I forgot the name of the guy that you worked with.
John Lesko.
John Lesko, who is
my good friend John Lesko.
Who is a very serious and successful actor, but very real and very deep. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, Sonia came back, very intellectual, very deep, and there was no humor. This is a comp. Do you remember this?
I was doing the Chekhovian version.
You were. I said, you
Come
are
on
doing.
Now, you get them.
That's what I said. I said to her, Carol, you are doing the Chekhovian version, right? Am I right? Of Playing Our Song. This is a humorous piece of a girl that's free-spirited and barges in with her dress backwards because she's late. And he's, I love that story. And she came back, she was so real and so dramatic in the reading. And I went, oh my God.
You're fired.
You're fired. So we had to undo what John Lesko did. Yeah. Sorry, John Lesko.
No. And that's what I brought back to Columbia.
Nice.
Thank you. And what are you bringing back to Columbia?
We should do that show again.
Oh all right,
that's
let's
a
do
great
it.
Show. It's a great show.
Right. It's Sonia in her midlife.
There's no age. Like that. Excuse us.
Okay, so right, we're going to do their Plano song again. Let's put that on next year's Check. Season. That's great. Nice. And you guys, coming back to Columbia.
Back to Columbia.
What do you think you're bringing back to Columbia? Like, if you started your own school, what would you definitely have in it?
Well, obviously arts right off the bat. And I would want kind of a large array. Like, I'm such an actor, but I would want to bring, I don't know, everyone's artistic and there's so many ways to show it. And theater allows you to have, I mean, you can do so many things. Technically, acting, I mean, it's just there are endless possibilities.
I'm so with you.
Yes.
And I would say everyone's creative. And
yes.
They can pull themselves to artistic. Everyone's creative, and they don't always know how to tap into that.
Right.
So when you have someone who fosters, who nurtures that creativity,
then it just kind of comes
everybody
to life.
Grows. Yep. That's what Jim Rouse wanted, by the way. A place where people grew, right?
Yeah,
it was nurturing soil in this community.
Well,
that's
here
correct.
We are.
Yeah.
That's right. Pretty cool.
Anything come to mind what you would bring?
Yeah. I think respect for, like, the rehearsal room, respect for your fellow actors, respect for your, I mean, either professors or directors or, you know, like musical directors. I think that's a huge thing. I think the biggest thing, I've always been on the kind of wild side in terms of, like, I love to have fun and I love to be loud and I love to yell and this and that. And the biggest thing that I've learned from, like, rehearsals with Toby and rehearsals at Shenandoah is just, like, just the moment you walk into the rehearsal hall, like 20, 30 minutes early, you're there to work.
You are
and
working.
And, like, you're having fun. That's true. Like, you're having fun with your friends, but, like, you're there to work. You're there to get the rehearsal done. You're there to learn. You're there to, you know, like, experience, try things. You're there to do. And basically, like, I think respect just for your surroundings and your respect for the script, you know, like, the author, the composers, everything is just a huge thing, is a huge thing that I'm bringing back to Columbia. I'm very excited to start rehearsals on July 9th. I've been counting down the days because when I'm not in rehearsals, I feel like I'm going crazy. Like, I'm just, like, in my parents' house. Like, we're all there. I'm just, like, every day, wake up. All right, one day, like, just count them down. Because once I'm in rehearsals, I'm like, okay, we have some, you know, like, we have some flow. We have, like, something.
A little focus.
We have more focus. We have a place. You know, we have a place to go and try. You know, you go to rehearsal. You try. You fail. You come back the next day. You try. You fail. And the only way you're going to learn is if you fail. And
you know, what I would bring if I was starting all over, and I think I've done this, is I used to say to them, the more you fail, the more you learn in life.
Yeah.
And you said it before. Unfortunately, too many kids are not exposed to the arts. Mm-hmm. And what I would bring to our new superintendent who knows this and to everyone else, that every child should be exposed to the arts.
Yes.
Yeah, in some way.
Because
yeah.
It's the arts help you as an individual to grow, to try new things, to learn new things, not to be afraid to do it.
To learn to fail.
And to learn to
yeah, fail.
Like that's part of the package.
Because that's
right?
The thing now. In life, it's not acceptable to fail. And it's like, damn. So when did that ever become a thing?
Yeah.
In whose life, though? Not
for the
in
kids
your
growing
life.
Up. No.
But
no.
In certain families,
absolutely.
In certain schools.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's kind of a general
the cultural
attitude.
Change.
And it's something that I think, well, this might be kind of crazy, but social media has done to kiddos is, which I'm not saying I'm not part of this. It's my, our generation is that
we're expected to be perfect.
It's a distraction that was not there before. That's now I almost don't know how to describe it.
You're expected to look good on your Instagram. You're expected to have many friends on Facebook. You know, you're expected to be funny on
it's
Twitter.
It's falsified. We are falsified.
And it's great to be those things. Like, it's fun, but...
And it's, yes, I'm not saying, like, social media is terrible. But our generation has become distracted. And I'm not saying everyone's complacent, because we're not all complacent. But there is a lackadaisical blanket that I feel like has fallen over so many people, and we need to charge right on up out of that.
Love arts.
But with the arts.
But with, I think what you guys are talking about is seeing when we go on social media and we see someone else that we might think, oh, their life is so much better or whatever. We're only seeing a snapshot. We're only seeing what they want to put out there. And so I think that's affecting people when they're trying out new things. And art is... We're afraid that the first thing we do, it has to be perfect. So we think about it too hard, and we don't experience things as much. We don't put ourselves out there to fail. And that's really affecting the process, I think. I mean, if talking about if you had a school kind of thing,
yeah.
I would just give my two cents like everyone else says and just let people try something. And like, you know, the girl over here, you know, tries to riff or tries to ad libs, and you know, all the kids are like, oh, she doesn't really know what's happening, or like, you know, she should just stick to what we're doing. But then I'm over here riffing and everyone's praising me and I think, oh, I'm so great. It's a lot of this. Oh. We're constantly just judging each other for trying new things. And yeah, just like, just give
your generation you're talking about.
Yeah, I think generation. Everyone's always done that. Everyone's always, you know, kind of scared to see people try something new because I think we're a little threatened by it. We want to be our best self. And if we might feel self-conscious about it, then we might judge other people for doing it. And because we feel like we can't do that in this time right now.
It's a brave move.
It is. Yeah, it's a brave move.
Right?
Yeah, and this, like we're talking about social media, this era, it's definitely pushing us down, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be more free when we try out.
Which you said about the Facebook, like everyone putting their best self out on Facebook.
Right.
Right. So then you don't see the fails, but we know the fails happen. Right.
Definitely.
Were you guys involved in sports?
Yes.
Yeah, we're a big
very
sports
much
fan.
So.
Was it at all difficult for you to balance sports and the arts?
Yes.
Yeah, we made it. Well, I mean, we made it work, but like, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay.
It'd be like, I remember showing up to a baseball game one day. I think it was like the championship or something like that, or some important game. And I had makeup on from the night before. Like, I don't remember what show it was, but I just remember my coach roasting me because I still had makeup on from one of our shows. And he's like, are you wearing eyeliner? And I'm like, man, I'm in a show. Like, you know me. Like, it's not a big deal. It's just
plus, if you want to wear eyeliner to a baseball game, you wear eyeliner.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and you're a boy. Okay.
Come on. I was looking good on that field. Like, don't even talk to me.
Yes.
So something that I would love throwing it out there in Columbia is for there to be a great harmony among the various disciplines, because if we're really trying to grow people, we should be able to grow in lots of these arenas, whether it shouldn't be the arts against athletics, do you know?
No,
it's just that there are all these disciplines pulling at young people for time, so they have to make choices. But I would love that place where an individual is encouraged to grow in lots of these arenas and just come up with the happy self, happy healthy self.
I think that makes me come back to Stephen was saying respect is if we can respect the arts the way we respect sports in general and bring that up at the same level, which, hello, it's totally a sport. Are you crazy? It's three things in one.
Yeah.
And it grows, not that sports don't grow the heart, but the arts grow the soul.
Oh,
grow
that's awesome. So that's awesome because you're here representing a family in this community and giving back to the community with your talent. It's so awesome. We are going to be celebrating kind of in the next, well, celebrating and honoring and trying to restore Ellicott City in its flood restoration. And one of the things that we're working on, Toby, now is a benefit for restoring Ellicott City. And that's coming up soon.
We're
hoping at the end of August, beginning of September, around Labor Day, which Carolyn, we used to do years ago, a Labor of Love, which was a special benefit. Do you want to talk about that for a second before we finish?
Yes, it started in 1988 and to help people living with HIV AIDS. And today we're going to dedicate a Labor of Love to helping the folks in Ellicott City. And we do need to wrap up, and I want to personally thank all the guests here. We're going to go out with the latest crop of young Colombians singing a little montage from the Labor of Love's 25th anniversary celebration. Carol, you're a doll. Toby, I love you, and I have hope with the younger generation.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Fabulous.
Connect with us
We are Dragon Digital Radio.